Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian, and for the first time in several months, thanks to social distancing, I have both of my co-hosts with me today. I guess thanks to relaxed social distancing. Mm-hmm. Matt Harrison and Brian Johnson. We're back together again.
A three-way.
I've never felt less relaxed.
I feel very I'm very claustrophobic right now. Two whole people.
I know. People on either side of you. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Would you like to touch elbows, Brian?
Elbow bump? Maybe later. A celebratory elbow
secret,
bump.
A very secretive elbow bump, probably. There's a lot to get to over the course of this show, Fantasy Football Weekly. And this show is dedicated to the first round of your draft. We're going to look at every pick that you, the people, are making in the first round. We'll tell you who you're taking first, who you're taking second, who you're taking third, by average draft position, and whether or not that's right. We're going to be evaluating your picks.
We got to change this ADP before it gets out of hand.
Yeah, there's some changes to be made out here. Mm-hmm. Now, generally, I think the public does a pretty good job. But we've got a lot to quibble with, and the first round's very important. Really, if you're going to mess up any round.
You can lose your league in the first round.
You can. And that is part of the draft strategy. Are you looking in the first round? Do you want the pick that's going to help rocket you to a championship? Or is it more important to get the safe pick and don't get the one that's going to torpedo your team? Like David Johnson last year, mm-hmm. who went off in the middle of the first round and gave you nothing.
Antonio Brown.
Well, he wasn't a first rounder last year.
Well, it depends on what time of the summer you were drafting. He was earlier on.
But David Johnson the year before.
There's that too. You know, this is going to be the year when David Johnson blows up because nobody's going to draft him. And you know, that would be fantasy football in a nutshell right there. So, does the public, you, the listening audience, have it right? We're going to go through every pick of the first round, the 12 picks the public is selecting. We'll tell you if we believe your selections are too high, too low, or just right. We begin with the first overall pick by consensus. You are taking Christian McCaffrey, last year's number one overall scorer and is number one at the position.
Is it possible you're taking him too low? I mean, at number one, the Panthers with Cam Newton, Kyle Allen, and Will Greer last year were second in the league with 630 passing attempts, almost 40 per game. Their defense is going to be worse this year with the loss of Luke Kuechly. They're going to be playing from behind, meaning check down Teddy will be throwing the ball maybe just as much. As I mentioned in previous episodes, Bridgewater's average depth of target is 5.4 yards.
Brutal.
That spells
good
doom
for him.
That spells doom for Curtis Samuel and Robbie Anderson, who are both deep threats.
Yeah.
And DJ Moore's average depth of target last year was around 11.1 yards, plus Greg Olsen is gone.
Yes.
That means Christian McCaffrey is going to catch a whole heck of a lot of balls because his average depth of target, 0.7 yards. That's right in Teddy's zone right there.
Well, it's kind of in his max range for Teddy Bridgewater, actually.
I think McCaffrey will set the record, maybe a record that won't be beaten ever for running back receptions this year.
He led last year all running backs in targets, receptions, receiving yards, total touchdowns, and he was second in rushing yards last year, Christian McCaffrey. In ESPN's scoring system, last year, Christian McCaffrey scored 22% more fantasy points than the next closest running back. That's the equivalent of really like getting a free flex player just in the differential that he brought last season.
I think
season.
I read in fantasy points, he totaled the number 10 and number 11 running backs last year.
That would make together. Sense
so you get an extra starter on the field with him.
All right. Let's
play. The one argument you can make against Christian McCaffrey.
Well, that's what I was going to get to. Yes. Let's try to make some cases why you wouldn't take Christian McCaffrey number one, because there are reasons.
History is the one I can think of, and that is essentially Priest Holmes is the only running back that's ever repeated as
number one
fantasy running back back-to-back years, and that was back in 02, 03,
03, 04. Didn't Ladanian do it a few times?
I thought Ladanian did too, and Emmitt Smith.
It's either...
It's not often, though.
It's
no matter what, predominantly guys don't back-to-back number
one. And, you know, we've gotten very excited about players before after monster seasons. Chris Johnson comes to mind. Yes. Your boy, Tap Dancing Nancy. But
he was a Tap Dancing Nancy.
For all the reasons... Matt suggested, I mean, the stars are aligning for even a better season. So there's one guy you can argue taking over McCaffrey. We all know who that is, but I think we can get to the question here.
So one is, you know, even we all think a regression is possible just because history says a regression is possible. But here's the thing.
A progression is possible, too.
Even if Christian McCaffrey regressed by 22%, he'd be the last year's highest scoring running back.
Exactly.
Now, I'll give you, here's the one angle I've come up with that I think is a legitimate one that could hurt Christian McCaffrey. A massively rebuilt Carolina Panthers offensive line that will probably take time to gel. They gained left tackle Russell Okung, the former Pro Bowler that was traded from the Chargers. Left tackle John Miller replaces Greg Van Roten, and right guard Michael Schofield will start in place of Trey Turner, who went back to the Chargers in that deal. And that's a lot of moving parts, and add in new coaching staff. And it could be that this offense and the offensive line just doesn't function right while they iron out all the new components of a new offensive line.
It's a lot of changes.
And while pass catching running backs are immune to some of that, they're not immune to all of that. And we still need him to run. So I think that's the best case to make against Christian McCaffrey.
It's not even that good of a case.
All right, so do you believe... It's not. Do you believe Christian McCaffrey should go number one? Is it too high, too low, or is it just right? Can't be too high because he's number one.
He's just right. What do you think, Brian?
I'll go just right, too.
Just right. We just all agree, right. Christian McCaffrey, just right. Let's go to the average...
As of late May 2020. Yeah,
that's right.
Our favorite year ever.
Let's go to the player you are taking second in the first round as we evaluate your first round. These are the 12 picks that you are selecting in average draft position by ESPN Drafts. And that is Michael Thomas.
People clearly drinking too much during quarantine times.
And this ADP you got from ESPN, I believe.
This is ESPN's average draft position. Last year, he was wide receiver number one. He was ranked third overall in scoring.
I'll go, I guess. I mean, sure. I don't even know if I take Michael Thomas as my top wide receiver, but I'm not taking him second. I'm very much on the fence with taking Saquon Barkley over Christian McCaffrey just to be a bit contrarian and go with the history's trends. But for Michael Thomas, he still has wide receiver one potential for sure. He could warrant being the top or the second overall pick in a fantasy draft, but I don't like the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. He commands a lot more targets than any other wide receiver that was on the Saints last year. Brandon Cooks was kind of like the most notable secondary option, and he was never much of a target hog ever. So Emmanuel Sanders coming back. Taysom Hill, I just hate for that whole offense in general. Including Michael Thomas. Right. He just comes in and vultures touchdowns from Kamara, Thomas. And really, the easiest argument against not taking Thomas here, I'm sorry, I kind of jumped the gun and answered the question, is wide receiver is the deepest I can remember ever being in the 25-ish years I've played fantasy football. You got guys at wide receiver 40.
It might be an undo the opposite kind of year.
You got guys like Juju Smith-Schuster who are like ranked in the 30s predominantly by most experts and whatnot. So I cannot take Michael Thomas second here. And
hey, Matt, what percentage of fantasy owners have ever regretted their selection of Michael Thomas, no matter where they took him?
It's about maybe 0.0001%.
Nobody's ever regretted. Yeah, this is the safest pick in fantasy football, Michael Thomas. But should he go at position number two?
So the knock I have on him here was Breeze went from averaging 42 passing attempts per game in 2016 and basically over 40 per game for the prior 10 years to 34 or fewer in each of the last three seasons. Emmanuel Sanders, as Brian mentioned, is legit and capable.
The defense keeps getting better every year, too.
Breeze's arm isn't up for throwing 40 times a game, Thomas seems due for some regression because he had 185 targets, 149 receptions, and 1725 for yardage. But even if he regresses to his 2018 numbers, which that's likely. He's still getting 125 catches for 1,400 yards and 9 touchdowns. So I think that he's going to regress some, but you're not going to feel bad if you take him in the top 5.
So you're saying, is he being drafted position number 2? Is Michael Thomas too high?
He's too
just
high.
Right or too low?
He's too high.
He's because
I'd take a running back over him.
He's just right. Incredible depth at quarterback with Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, who would likely get lots of reps in the event that Drew Brees got hurt, and then Taysom Hill does for whatever faults he has. He also can throw a nice deep ball, and he can do some things. And then you guys are so wrong in Emmanuel Sanders. Emmanuel Sanders helps his cause. He has been languishing. Michael Thomas hasn't been languishing. He has had to take full coverage, the best coverage. Nobody, no other wide receivers offering defenses anything to look at. Emmanuel Sanders will at least keep defenses a little bit honest.
Tiny bit.
And I think that will ultimately help in the long run. Michael Thomas, I believe it is just right at pick number 2. When we come back, we will begin looking at pick number 3 that you've got. We're evaluating the public's drafting through the first round. You took, by average draft position in ESPN drafts, you've taken Christian McCaffrey, Michael Thomas. We'll talk about picks number 3, 4, and 5 when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. I am your host, Paul Ciarchi, and my co-hosts today are Matt Harrison and Brian Johnson. You can follow us on Twitter. I am at Paul Ciarchi. Matt Harrison is at Explosive Output, and
after all these years,
years later, Brian is available at BTXJ. BTXJ.
Waiting for some corporation that needs that Twitter handle. Just to come and knock him.
Yeah, that's right. Pay up well for that. It's only 4 digits long.
I got it a long time ago.
Good for you. We are looking at the first round draft picks. The public's first round draft picks, the 12 rounds comprising the first round on ESPN, average draft position. Do you have these picks right? Are the guys too high or too low? We've already covered Christian McCaffrey. Consensus was that was correct at number 1. Michael Thomas, 2 of the 3 of us said it was too high at number 2. And with the 3rd pick, you are selecting Saquon Barkley. Matt, do you believe at pick number 3, Saquon Barkley is too high, too low, or just right?
He's too low because he should be locked in at number 2. I think CMC's ceiling and floor are just a tiny bit higher than Saquon's, but the sky's the limit for Barkley. He's got a capable quarterback who can throw the ball downfield. Somehow that's working against him, though. But it's like the opposite of Teddy Bridgewater. And the weapons in New York aren't bad. Darius Slayton, Sterling Shepard, Golden Tate, Evan Engram, all pretty decent options. Now, the drawback is you have Jason Garrett calling your plays. But Jason Garrett's offenses in the past have featured a workhorse running back in Ezekiel Elliott. So I feel just fine with Saquon Barkley working in that offense. And I think he's a great pick at number 2. Brian is going to say he should be picked at number 1.
You could make that argument, but yeah, I'm going to basically agree with you. And those weapons you mentioned, including Barkley, who last year was a disaster, of course, injuries. But Golden Tate missed the first 4 games of the season. Evan Engram got injured during that span. They never had that full team together. Mm-hmm. And then you had Daniel Jones, who they started the season.
Yeah.
So that team never had a chance. They're finally going into a whole season together. The opening schedule is rough, though, which I don't like. I believe it's Pittsburgh, Chicago, San Francisco, and the Rams.
Oof.
Yikes.
So
that's a murderer's row.
This
for
is
a
almost
start.
Like, as much as I love Barkley, I think he's going to bounce back in a big way. Arguably the most talented running back in the NFL. That schedule scares me, and it's more like a buy low opportunity. But I'm still going to say he's too low, but keep that in mind. That opening schedule is a little scary. It could be a slow start. So, yeah.
It could be tough on guillotine leaguers.
Exactly.
Saquon Barkley at number 3, I believe, is just right, and I love him. He's the best running back in the NFL,
to
be clear.
Did you set the ADP for ESPN, Charge? Everything's perfect.
I've drafted on ESPN 1,000 times just to make it just my way.
And I hope it doesn't step on
your pick.
I don't want to step on your toes. You might mention this. The Giants invested Andrew Thomas 4th overall. Okay,
exactly.
Keep going with
it. They got the early first round pick in Andrew Thomas, who joins Nate Solder, Will Hernandez, also very good blockers. And the Giants also put a 3rd rounder into Matt Purton. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is an offensive line that should get better. Might take a little while. And again, you know, new offensive lines take a little bit to gel. Maybe that's going
to
be the
nowhere
case
to go here. But up for the Giants, though.
Yeah, well, so it really does have nowhere to go but up. Okay, let's go to position number four. The public on ESPN is taking Ezekiel Elliott at number four. Let's go to Brian. Do you believe that Ezekiel at number four is too high, too low, or just right?
Well, Michael Thomas has screwed this all up because everyone's too low to get to the cell. But let's just say behind Saquon and McCaffrey, I'll say just right for Zeke. Just he was a beast last year, probably the most consistent running back outside of McCaffrey. And the addition of CeeDee Lamb doesn't really concern me. There's a lot of weapons, aerial weapons. Blake Jarwin, an up-and-coming tight end, going to steal some red zone touches from Zeke. I think Tony Pollard sees a little more run this year, trying to, you know, take the mileage off Zeke because they've got him for the long haul now, if they like it or not, right? He's locked in. So I don't know if he's going to – I see just a slight downtick in usage for Elliott, but he's still going to be the same elite player on the same elite offense. So he's just about right where he is.
Most of what Brian said is spot on. Kellen Moore stays as the offensive coordinator, mm-hmm. so he's got some consistency there.
Yep.
He led the league with 59 red zone rushing attempts last year and had 12 scores from that distance. Plus, if by some chance Dak Prescott decides to go Ezekiel Elliott on this and hold out, he's got Andy Dalton, who's a capable backup quarterback. But Andy Dalton might hand Zeke the ball just a couple extra times. So I like Zeke as the third overall running back. And in my mind, he's the third overall pick. So I think he's going a little bit too low.
You talked about his red zone touches.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this from inside the 5-yard line for Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah.
Over his 3-year career, he's had 41 carries from inside the 5. Just in the last 2 years, he's had 31. Even but I want to spend a minute on Tony Pollard. And here's why I'm going to say this is too high. I'm legitimately worried about Tony Pollard significantly eating into his usage.
He's a baller.
He is a baller. Listen to this. By many metrics, in fact, by most metrics, Tony Pollard was the better back last year. He ran for 5.3 yards per carry. And even when Pollard didn't touch the ball, the Cowboys averaged more yards per play on when Pollard was in the game than when Zeke was in the game. Pollard had the NFL's highest yards after contact last year. Among all runners that had at least his 86 carries, he had the most yards per contact. Tony Pollard had a higher Pro Football Focus grade than Zeke did last year, both as a runner and as a receiver. And we saw Tony Pollard put up heavy usage games at the end of last year. Week 15 and week 17 last year were 14 and 15 touch games at the end of last year when Dallas was playing to try to get into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
They were relying on Tony Pollard down the stretch. Were those games at the end of last year a foreshadowing of what is to come this year?
Dun, dun, dun. You got me convinced.
Tony Pollard also, I believe, had the highest elusive rating in the league out of players who played more than 8 games.
That would not surprise me, considering he led the NFL in yards after contact.
The only guys who were even close to him was Kareem Hunt, and he played exactly 8 games. So anybody who played more than 8 games, yep. Tony Pollard was the most elusive running back in the league.
He's too high now. He's too high, George.
Okay. Did I talk you into it? You're going too high.
Especially because I'm thinking about the players that are to come. Now
that's
he's
right.
too high.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So, and I still like Zeke fine.
Yeah.
I don't like him at number 4. I think he's too high. So we have two highs and a just right. Let's go to position number 5. And that is Dalvin Cook. Last year, he was running back 6, overall player number 9, depending on that's ESPN's scoring system. You, ESPN drafters, are taking Dalvin Cook at position number 5. Matt, do you believe that's too high, too low, or just right?
I think just right again. Things I found while digging in on Dalvin Cook. At the beginning of the season, they took Dalvin off the field more often on passing downs. And the Vikings developed a bit of a tell because Dalvin was on the field more often for rushing snaps and not for passing snaps. First 5 game, he averaged only 18 snaps per game on pass plays. But by the middle of the season and in his last 3 healthy games in his 2 playoff games, Dalvin was averaging 28 passing snaps per game. He's also in a contract year, and it's not guaranteed that he comes back to the purple. So the Vikings could go DeMarco Murray with him and just run the tread off the tires this year, pass him the ball a bazillion times, keep him running, and just see what they get out of Dalvin this year.
Yeah, I agree with everything you have to say. The Vikings also invested some draft capital in an offensive line, Ezra Cleveland, in the second round, mid-second. And yeah, the contract year thing is huge for fantasy football. They're probably not going to extend with Minnesota, so they have nothing to lose in just feeding him the ball all day. And when the championship window is closing, sorry, Vikings fans.
It is.
Here's why I think you guys are wrong in the usage is he's just never been durable, never stayed healthy. And last year in the second half of the season, first half of the season, Dalvin Cook averaged 5.2 yards per carry. Second half of the season, 3.2. That's a massive difference. And it's just a guy who wears down, and is as plausible as it could be that the Vikings would like to run him a lot and to just hand then give the keys to Alexander Mattison next year. I just don't think Dalvin Cook is built for that. So I don't believe that that is in fact going to happen. Although we will find
out.
So
it sounds like you think that he's ranked too high.
Too high for Dalvin Cook. Not a lot, but I think he is a little bit too high. We are working our way through the average first round by your drafts on ESPN and validating or invalidating your selections at every pick of the first round. We've already been through Christian McCaffrey, Michael Thomas, Saquon Barkley as the first three players selected, then Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, and now for selection number six, Alvin Kamara being selected at position number six. Many people expecting a bounce back season after a very disappointing one last year. Brian, do you believe that Alvin Kamara's position number six is too high, too low, or just right?
Here's one thing you can take to the bank with Alvin Kamara. He's going to have 81 catches this season.
Yes, he is.
His rookie season, 81 catches. 2018, 81 catches. Last season, 81 catches. So that's locked in. I like the 81 catch aspect to Alvin Kamara. No, the touches went down a little bit for Kamara last year. 20 fewer catches, obviously, or 20 fewer carries. The catches were the same. The touchdowns went down big time from 2018. He had 14 rushing touchdowns in 2018, only five last year.
Yeah, remember, famously, he had scored in one game until week 16 last year. We were all languishing, waiting for the touchdowns to come that never did.
Taysom Hill, the aforementioned Taysom Hill, certainly stole some touches from Kamara in the red zone last year, or will probably do the same this year, as will Latavius Murray. That said, still an elite offense with a great run-blocking offensive line, probably like top 12, and Emmanuel Sanders comes in, makes that offense even a little better. I do think positive regression has to come. I think the touches will stay consistent in that offense, so I'm going to say he's just about right where he's at, though, because I still like him behind the Zeke and the Dalvin Cooks of the world.
Okay.
Brian almost hit it right on the head. The Saints had the fifth best run blocking grade last season, according to Pro Football Focus, but they were the 11th best at rushing grade. That means they handed the ball to Latavius Murray too much. and I don't think that's the case this year. Like Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara in a contract situation, and we discussed that in a previous episode of Fantasy Football Weekly, the Saints cannot re-sign him. They do not have the cap space to re-sign him. So this is his last year in New Orleans. He only had 171 rushing attempts last year. I'm predicting at least 220 rushing attempts, and I'm going to say he beats 81 receptions. I'm going to say he gets to 90. So he's closer to the 20 touch per game mark than he's ever been. And frankly, it could be more. So I think the Saints really are going to try to work with Alvin Kamara as their window is closing as well.
I agree with everything you said. So you believe Alvin Kamara is low at number six.
I might bump him up one. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I might bump him ahead of Dalvin.
I'd have no problem with that. We all think the bounce back is coming, and I do too. Let's go to pick number seven. The public is taking Derrick Henry, who was running back six or seven, depending on your scoring system. Overall player number.
My notes are not right.
I think his overall was player seven, and as a running back, he was player number five. I believe that is correct. From Derrick Henry. Do you believe, Matt, Derrick Henry is too high or too low or just right at pick number seven? Keep in mind, we are talking about PPR leagues.
Well, If you think of Derrick Henry as a big bruising running back, you're right. But you didn't know that he had the seventh highest elusive rating of out of all running backs who played in at least 10 games last year. So that's good. Mm-hmm. More elusive than Austin Eckler, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, and Dalvin Cook.
You would never guess.
No. He's on the franchise tag, so it's another contract year for him. And the Titans finally realized that he is their bread and butter, is one of the best 2 to 3 players throughout the NFL playoffs last year. He also scored in 13 of 19 games last season, had 6 multi-score games, and his 11 red zone rushing touchdowns on only 35 attempts was amazing. He scored on 1/3 of his red zone rushing attempts. Inside the 20.
Yes.
He scores on a third.
It's not inside the 5. Yeah. It's inside the 20.
So, yes. I mean, his knock is he only had 18 receptions. He's only getting targeted like 1.5 times per game.
Look, that's not trivial.
So I think that he's too high for a PPR league. I would bump him down a couple of spots because now after we get past those 5 running backs that I really like, this is where I start to invest in some of those wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Brian, is Derrick Henry too high, too low, or just right at pick number 7?
Yeah, in PPR, he's just a little too high. Deion Lewis is gone. All he could do was catch a football if given the opportunity. But Darrington Evans, the rookie they brought in, is even more electric and just as good a pass catcher, if not better than Deion Lewis. So he's going to own that role. Henry's not going to factor much in the passing game. It does help the contract year, though. You do think they'll give him a few extra carries if they're not willing to extend. But yeah, just the lack of pass catching, I won't say ability, but potential has him a little too high for me.
I believe this is just right for Derrick Henry. He listened to these carries from inside the 5. You talked about his red zone carries. From carries inside the 5 over the past two years, Derrick Henry has 33 in the last 2 years. Anybody else, 5. Get this. Last year, he got all of them. Every single carry the team had inside the 5 went to Derrick Henry last year. And
he also had a passing touchdown.
And then there's the Tannehill effect. He topped 100 yards 0 times in the first 9 games last year. Derrick Henry did. And then he went berserk as Tannehill got acclimated into that offense. I believe Tannehill starting in week 6. And then after that, it was just lights out, as people already know. Mm-hmm. I believe Derrick Henry is properly rated where he is. Let's talk about player number 8. Again, these are your picks by average draft position on ESPN. You have selected DeAndre Hopkins with pick number 8. Gentlemen, Brian, is this too high, too low, or just right?
It's gentlemen and Brian, by the way.
It's too... hey, at least you didn't call me Gettleman. I take much more offense to that.
That's slap in the face right there.
I don't really like the move for DeAndre moving west to Arizona for fantasy football. Reality football, yeah, I like it for him a little more. But there's just a ton of competition for targets out there. And Larry Fitzgerald, the one of the best to ever do it, still doing it. Christian Kirk, Kenyon Drake catches the ball out of the backfield. Andy Isabella, they put some decent draft capital into last year. You think they're going to try and find more of a role for him? Hakeem Butler should also see an increased role if he stays healthy. There's just so many people there that he didn't have that problem in Houston. It was quite the opposite. People were always hurt, so he was the only one to throw to.
Yeah.
And it's a lateral move, I guess you can say, in quarterback from Watson to Kyler Murray.
Watson. Deshaun Watson's really, really good.
Yeah, lateral. Well, like, so is Kyler.
Deshaun Watson is really good. Kyler Murray is hoping to become good.
Deshaun Watson was very good with DeAndre Hopkins as his main wide receiver.
Fair point.
Kyler Murray is now very good with DeAndre Hopkins as his main wide receiver.
They're comparable players on Brady. This is all China.
I think the weapons are comparable too. I don't think that there's that much of a different step here. I mean, you look at Will Fuller versus Christian Kirk. Sorry, who would you rather have? I mean, it's
Kirk.
It's not.
Oh, Kirk.
Oh,
sure.
Come on. It's not that.
Will Fuller is good at one thing: run straight, run fast.
Yes.
And other than that,
score
Will
touchdowns.
Fuller, and Will Fuller does not bring a lot to the table. I don't believe.
And it's a little tougher division for wide receivers too. I'll throw it out there. The Seahawks, Rams both allowed about under one wide receiver touchdown per game. So
that's a fair point.
I like another wide receiver more than Hopkins, so he's just too high for me.
So we have a too high on DeAndre Hopkins at position eight, and?
It's defensible, but it's too high. I got two other wide receivers that I like better.
Agreed. DeAndre Hopkins, too high at pick number eight. When we come back, one more segment. As we round out the bottom of the first round, these are your picks, the public's first picks in average draft position for selections 9, 10, 11, and 12. We'll tell you if you're getting those picks right or wrong when we come back. Final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchi and Brian Johnson, Matt Harrison with you. We are looking at the first round of fantasy football drafts, and a lot of them happening already. A lot of people getting in practice drafts, real drafts that are for leagues that just start early, people that have already got a taste for fantasy football. And we're looking at your average draft position using ESPN's average drafts across all the thousands of leagues that have already drafted on ESPN. We've already done the first eight players. We now go to position number nine and Davante Adams. Last year, because of a variety, mostly the high ankle sprain that he had, and then playing kind of gimpy after that, he ended up as wide receiver 18 and player number 56, yet here he is going at position number nine. Matt, is that too high or too low?
It's,
or just right?
It's too low. Davante Adams, and Brian's going to be right in lockstep with me because we kind of discussed before. I think Davante Adams has a serious case to be made for wide receiver one off the board. He had double-digit targets in 10 of his last 11 games. He scored seven touchdowns in his final eight games after coming back from the injury. He's got a pissed-off Aaron Rodgers, who was excited for the Packers to draft him another wide receiver weapon in this year's draft, but then they picked his backup and replaced Geronimo Allison with a fat Devin Funchess. It's Davante Adams and no one else. Even Jimmy Graham's gone from that offense. If he stays healthy this year, he's in line for Michael Thomas-like targets, maybe 175, and I think that he's going too low.
Okay, Brian.
Yeah, I think Adams could average 15 targets this year easily if he stays healthy. He didn't last year, but that was the first year he didn't stay healthy. The 3 years before that, he was the only wide receiver with double-digit touchdowns three straight years. That should keep on rolling into this year. For what it's worth, Darius Slay, gone from Detroit.
Yeah.
He gave him headaches twice a year.
Yeah,
It's not that Xavier Rhodes was giving him headaches anymore, but
Trey Waynes is gone too.
Trey Waynes is gone.
Yeah, Vikings are short three of their top three starting cornerbacks.
And the Bears actually weren't that tough against wide receivers. The defense in general took a major step back. So he's just going to be the focal point of that offense. It's not going to be Aaron Jones. It's still going to be Aaron Rodgers just throwing Davante Adams all day long. And I think it's double digit. I think he's the one guy you can say double digit touchdowns are a lock, him and Thomas, but I just like Adams more this year.
But Thomas didn't do it the last 2 years.
No, he didn't. And yeah.
So again, not only that, but get this. I bet almost all of our listeners have forgotten this. Davante Adams did not score until week 12 last year. Week 12, no touchdowns for Davante Adams. I don't know how you can guarantee double-digit touchdowns. Now, he missed four games on the ankle sprain, and I appreciate that. But that still, that means he played eight games and didn't score a touchdown. So I don't know that the safety that you think is there, and I think this is much more about, we all agree Davante Adams is a very good receiver, very good. But where is Aaron Rodgers in his career arc? I think really ranking Davante Adams is a referendum on Rodgers, who last year saw his lowest completion percentage of his career, second lowest yards in any full season. His touchdown numbers the last 2 years, 25 and 26? What? I mean, those are... You know, those are Andy Dalton style touchdown numbers.
Sure.
And the second lowest passer rating for Aaron Rodgers since his first year as a starter. This, you know, Aaron Rodgers last year was not the Hall of Famer we were used to seeing. And if maybe he bounces back, maybe he's got another good season left in that arm.
Are you calling for a quarterback controversy in Green Bay?
No, I'm not. But I don't know that it's a guarantee that Aaron Rodgers gets better. Let's go to position. Okay, so you guys both say too low. I say just right on Davante Adams. Let's go to wide receiver. Sorry, position number 10. Who is a wide receiver by your average draft selection? That is Julio Jones. Last year, wide receiver number 5, overall player number 22. Is this too high, too low, or just right?
I've been publicly knocking Julio for years, and not because he's bad at his job. He's great at his job, but he's had foot and hamstring injuries. that just kind of lingered, and he's been questionable for like his entire career.
Yeah.
He hasn't been adequately targeted in the red zone for a receiver of his size until last year, when he was targeted 16 times in the red zone, but he only came up with 5 red zone touchdowns, and he only came up with 6 touchdowns total.
Well, and while we're talking touchdowns, Julio Jones scored in 1 game after week 3 last year.
Well, yeah, and so he is also on the team that led the league in passes by a ton. They passed 683 times
last
year.
They were behind in every game.
Yeah. He's also had 7 straight years of 8 or fewer touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He just has he's hit the double-digit mark once. He's a great player, but I would never pick him in the first round of a fantasy draft. I would wait till the second round to see if he's there.
If you forced me to take an Atlanta Falcon wide receiver in the first round,
it wouldn't be Julio Jones.
It would not be Julio Jones this okay. year. I like Calvin Ridley's prospects.
Yeah. Not Russell Gage?
Matt hates Calvin Ridley, by the way. We got to get Calvin it. We have to dedicate Ridley, a whole geez. Podcast to... That you just don't like him for whatever reason. But anyway,
I just don't want to pay what other people are paying.
Ridley's just turning it on. I think Ridley does outscore Julio this year. I don't want to go too much into it. Ridley came on strong last year. He started last year strong, 4 touchdowns in his 4 touchdowns in the first 6 games, 3 touchdowns in his last 4, had target totals of 14 and 10 in 2 of his last 3. He looked like the alpha receiver at the end of last year, and I could see that certainly taking shape this year.
Julio Jones is only 31, he's only 31. But he's an old 31 with the 800 receptions, right? He's just a lot of miles on that body. And I'd rather get out a year too early than a year too late.
Oh,
Julio Jones. And so at position number 10, all 3 of us agree, Julio Jones going too high. Let's go to position number 11. The public is taking Tyreek Hill, last year wide receiver 27 and the 73rd highest scoring player overall. Obviously, a variety of problems. He had shoulder and hamstring injuries. His quarterback missed a month of games, and he ultimately ended up suffering career lows in every category. Is Tyreek Hill too high, too low, or just right, Brian?
Yeah, and last season, I'm not giving him a pass by any means for his behavior off the field, but he was going into last year, everyone hated him, you know, he was a villain, so it was a tough year for Tyreek last year. He kind of deserved it, but going into this season doesn't appear to be the case. I don't see how he regresses whatsoever. His numbers can only go up. I'm just going to keep this very simple. I think considering we had Julio in this ADP, he's too low, but removing Julio from the equation, we're all in agreement. He's way too high. I think we can say Tyreek Hill is just about right as wide receiver.
All right, 4. So you're just about right at position number 11 for Tyreek Hill. Matt?
I have Hill as my number 3 wide receiver behind Thomas and Adams. You kind of mentioned it, Charge. There were 6 games that either Tyreek Hill wasn't playing or Patrick Mahomes wasn't playing.
Yep.
So that's only 10 games where they were together and Hill was dinged up or Mahomes was dinged up for a few of them. He still finished with 7 touchdowns and he led the league was 5th in the league with 4 touchdown receptions of 20 yards or more. He's so explosive. I think that he's always in play as a top 3 wide receiver.
Tyreek Hill is too low and far too low. In fact, I think this is the worst ranking here. He's my number 2 wide receiver. In my mind, you can take Tyreek Hill as high as selection number 4 in this draft. I love Tyreek Hill. Insiders around the Chiefs tell me that Patrick Mahomes is good. Mm-hmm. I would like to have his number 1 receiver. That? I can't reveal my sources.
Okay.
I'm Patrick Mahomes. Remember, he's 1 season removed from 1,600 total yards and 13 touchdowns for Tyreek Hill. And if you think Patrick Mahomes is going to bounce back to have a season, a healthy 16 games that mirrors what he had closer to in 2018, that puts Tyreek Hill right back at 1,600 yards and 13 touchdowns.
Is there still a buy low opportunity on Hill in Dynasty? Or is it gone?
No, I think it's still there. Yeah. I do think it's still there because people replay last year too much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, we've got about 1 minute to break down the final player to be selected in the first round by the public, according to ESPN's average draft position, and that is Packers running back Aaron Jones, who finished as running back 4 last year and player 7 overall.
Yeah, 14 red zone rushing touchdowns last year led the league. Then they drafted A.J. Dillon, whose deal is to be the red zone running back. And Packers coach Matt LaFleur is trying to build a Kyle Shanahan-like system. Mm-hmm. And the Niners deploy their running backs in weird ways. You'd think Raheem Mostert led their team in red zone rushing touches? No. It was Tevin Coleman with 26, and then Jeff Wilson with 16. Mm. Mostert was third, so I see A.J. Dillon doing the same thing and stealing from Aaron Jones this year. He's way too high.
Last year, 56% of Aaron Jones' 16 games were inside the top 12 among running backs, but over 30% were outside the top 30. That's too Jekyll and Hyde for me. Mm-hmm. His usage can't be trusted, even with LaFleur. As Matt said, they drafted A.J. Dillon, which is even more of a headache. Jamal Williams is still there. He cannot win. He might be able to win you your league, but he could certainly lose you your league if you draft Aaron Jones in the first round. So he's way too high.
I think, Brian, you hit it right on the head. The danger here is that Aaron Jones gets schemed out of too many Packer games.
For no good reason,
absolutely no good reason. I can't have my first round draft pick getting schemed out of his own games. Not in the first round. I don't mind taking the two-part running back, the 60-40 guy and a running back in the third round or something, but not the end of the first round. That's too early. And then there's the intangible here. With all of the heat the Packers took for selecting A.J. Dillon, I'm worried that general manager Brian Gutekunst is going to basically require that they use Dillon in meaningful ways to take some heat off this front office. Packers universally had the lowest graded draft, and it's carried over to the general public psyche, the player's psyche, everything else. I really do worry about A.J. Dillon and that threat being real.
We didn't mention any tight ends or quarterbacks, and I think that there's four of those two positions.
Give me a name and one sentence on each guy, because that's all we have time for.
I mean, Travis Kelce and George Kittle could easily go in the first round, because I don't think tight end is as deep as some other people think. And Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, they're just on a different level from a fantasy perspective than the other quarterbacks. I'd wait if I don't get either of those two guys, but it's completely defensible taking Lamar Jackson, who gives you RB1-ish kind of numbers at the quarterback position in your top five.
Yeah, currently going in the early to middle second round by average on Lamar Jackson.
And I'll throw one more name that's first round worthy out there. If it's running back, it's Joe Mixon.
Yep.
Certainly be
absolutely
in the conversation as a first round.
A lot of
pick.
People think the Bengals are looking better with these selections that they made in the offseason, both in the draft and free agency.
It'll be a fun offense.
Thank you for listening to Fantasy Football Weekly, everybody. We will be back next week. If you are listening to this over the air, we encourage you to check out our podcast. Subscribe to Fantasy Football Weekly. And if you're listening to this via podcast, we encourage you to try to find us on your favorite sports talk radio stations across the country.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.